Good evening, and just thank you, Pastor, for just giving me the opportunity to speak. This is actually the second time this has happened, about maybe 4 or 5 years ago. Our pastor was out of town. Our assistant pastor was supposed to be preaching, and he was, you know, leading the church while our pastor was away. And I was working our bus route at the time. I was a bus captain. And I had just gotten to church. We just unloaded all the children off the bus, and he calls me and says, "I cannot preach. There's no way." He said, "I cannot be in church." He said, "This bug has gotten me late last night." He said, "You're preaching tonight." So I had to work our bus, go, and after that, after the morning service, I had to take all the children home still. That was 2 hours. So I got home. And it was 30 minutes for me to get from the church to my house. So I got home at, I think it was 4 o'clock, had to be back to church at 5 to preach. And so that was most nerve-wracking. So Pastor asked me this morning, I was like, "All right, well, Lord, you know." So hope the Lord has something ready, and He always does. All right. This is actually just a few times that I've done this. So hopefully I'll be able to keep up with it, with doing the slides like this. Let me get this situated here. No. Well, if you would, take your Bibles and turn to Ezekiel chapter 37. Hey, Matthew, can you take that little thing on the bottom there? Can you see the computer? Take that, click that, and just move it out of my way so I can get to the arrow. There we go. Thank you. It was not wanting me, let me do it from here. We'll be in Ezekiel chapter 37 and verse 1. It says, "The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out, and the Spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones, and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Again he said unto me, Prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live. And ye shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking. And the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came up upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Then said he unto me, Prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, Thus saith the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood upon their feet, an exceeding great army." We have here, this is the prophet Ezekiel. The Lord has spoken to him, and I know that this is pertaining to Israel, but there's some truths here that I believe that we can gain from this passage of Scripture, which I want to speak on tonight. I believe that we, as Christians, are in a spiritual battle. We are soldiers. What I want to talk to you about tonight is being either a statue or a soldier. You see here the Statue of Liberty. When you hear the word statue, that's probably the first thing that comes to your mind, is the Statue of Liberty. But something I find that very many Americans know very little about the Statue of Liberty. It's probably something that most kids grow up wanting to go to. I have always wanted to go there. I have not had the opportunity to. Fortunately enough, our New York visit has just been going through and not actually staying there. But it is some place that I would like to go to at some point in my life. This Statue of Liberty was given to us by the French. We don't know exactly how much it cost because they donated it. But the statue itself stands at 151 feet and 1 inch tall. the base is another 154 feet tall. But something that I found on Wikipedia about it is right now, currently, they are building a $70 million museum that will be completed sometime this year. You say, well, why is that important? You realize that $70 million is going into a structure that does nothing more than to sit out on an island welcoming people into one port of our nation? You say, well, what's the big deal? It's a great structure, you know, and it's fun to go and visit. I remind you, it is just a statue. It does absolutely no good to the benefit of our country, to anybody entering our country. It welcomes them in, but it does nothing for them beyond that. They see it as a welcome, and that is it. Another statue, or referred to as a monument, is Mount Rushmore. I have had the opportunity to visit Mount Rushmore. I was out west 2 years ago, and it's very, very impressive. We have here the sculpture of the heads of President George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, Theodore Roosevelt, and Abraham Lincoln. It took just a little over 4 years and 400 workers to carve out of the granite mountainside. They removed some 410,000 tons of rock. And you say, well, what's the big deal? It provided jobs, but it really doesn't do us any good except for a memory. That's all it is. It just gives us a memory of four presidents in our country's history. And we can go there, we can look at it, we can say, yes, that's amazing, we can see this great structure. But those four men, though they were great men in our history, though they did great things in our history, our nation, can look back at them and see what they have done for us. All they are now is just a sculpture. These four men, they can do nothing for us anymore. Because they're just a face on a mountainside. The next one we think of is Lincoln Memorial. It is a massive structure of 27,336 square feet that took around 8 years to build and cost $300,000 in 1914 when it was built, which today's worth would be about $7.25 million. Now, it's a very ornate memorial that sees millions of visitors each year. But again, something that in 1914, you'll remember that was just before, my history is correct, just before the Great Depression. Couldn't we have used that $300,000 for something better than just a big structure for one president's memorial to sit in? Couldn't we at that time had put all of them up there? Instead, we dedicated it to just one man. The next one, the Washington Monument. It's an obelisk standing just over 555 feet in the middle of Washington, D.C. Construction of the monument began in 1848 and was halted from 1854 to 1877 due to a lack of funds. A struggle for control over the Washington National Monument Society, and the intervention of the American Civil War. It was finally completed in 1888. It was closed in September 2016 due to issues with the elevator and other mechanical problems. On December 2, 2016, the National Park Service announced that the monument would be closed until 2019 in order to modernize the elevator. The $2 to $3 million project will correct the elevator's ongoing mechanical, electrical, and computer issues. When I visited there, and it was early of last year, I went in and talked to the lady at the little shop there at the bottom where you can get souvenirs and things. And I asked her if she knew if they had any kind of update of when they would have it finished. Her answer was, oh, they've already gone through that $2 to $3 million and don't know if they will ever get the funding to finish it. And I think it's very interesting that the Washington National Monument Society and the intervention of the American Civil War were fighting over who was going to get the recognition for it. Just for a structure that points straight up in the sky 555 feet, doesn't even have Washington's face on it anywhere. We know it as the Washington Monument because that's what we're told, but if you go and look at it, nothing on there tells you that it's about Washington. Nothing. But we spent over $3 million on it. This is a monument up in Plymouth, Massachusetts. It's a very little known monument. It's called the National Monument to the Forefathers. It's one of the very few monuments in this country that really tell the truth behind the establishment of our nation. This 81-foot tall monument is to commemorate the brave pilgrims who sailed on the Mayflower to seek freedom in America. There are four seated figures emblazoning the principles upon which the pilgrims founded their commonwealth. Counterclockwise from the east are morality, law, education, and liberty. Inscribed on it is a quote by William Bradford, "Thus, out of small beginnings, greater things have been produced by his hand that made all things of nothing and gives being to all things that are. And as one small candle may light a thousand, so the light here kindled hath shone unto many, yea, in some sort to our whole nation. Let the glorious name of Jehovah have all praise." The reason I read this quote is because I believe it's very meaningful. William Bradford, who was the leader of the pilgrims coming over on the Mayflower, came here for religious freedom. He did not care to have a monument put up in his name. He did not care about that. What he cared about was giving glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, as Christians, we are soldiers in the Lord's battle. We should not care whether we get a statue to commemorate us, whether we get anybody to recognize us. All honor and glory should go to the Lord for whatever it is that He gives us the opportunity to do with our life. So a statue or a soldier, you may ask, well, why the slides? Because I want to get this picture in your head of the difference between a statue and a soldier. The first difference, I'll go cover four differences between a statue and a soldier. The first difference being existence or life. Look down in your Bibles at Ezekiel there. Look in verse 8. Well, we see just kind of a background here. The Lord has led Ezekiel out to this valley. It's full of dry bones. He's asking them the question there in verse 3, "Son of man, can these bones live?" I love Ezekiel's answer. "O Lord God, Thou knowest." The Lord's the only one that knows everything. We don't know what's capable. We don't understand what the Lord is capable of other than just everything. You know, many times we look at a problem in our lives and we say, you know, how am I going to get over this? The Lord knows. If you let Him lead you, He will lead you through it. So then in verses 4 through 7, the Lord tells Ezekiel to prophesy unto these bones. He does it there in verse 7. It says, "So I prophesied as I was commanded." We see in verse 8, it says, "When I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them above." We see there in end of verse 8, "But there was no breath in them." You see, in verse 8 here, after Ezekiel has prophesied, the bones have come together. He's heard the noise and the shaking, and the bones have all come together. And then the sinews and the flesh has come up on them, and they're human beings, except for one problem. There's no breath in them. You see, they're, at this point, they're just all laying on the ground, statues of human beings, showing you what they might have been at one point, but they'd have no breath in them. You see, that's the problem with statues. Statues can do nothing. They have no life in them. They're just there. They have no existence other than having been put there where they are. We see statues as something to look on as a memory, but they have no life, and so therefore really are useless. You say, well, it's nice to go and look at these different monuments and things. Yes, but again, as I pointed out in all these five different statues and things, how much money has been poured into them instead of being used for something good? A statue has no life. Here, this is the Korean War Memorial. Here's a bunch of soldiers. The problem is they're all statues. These soldiers, they're I don't know if they were made to look like certain people. There's no names on them. But these soldiers are to depict what took place there in the Korean War and how they were, in the jungles to kind of have it built up there and plants and all around. To give you an idea of the soldiers that were in that battle in Korea, there fighting for the Korean independence. But you know something? These soldiers, these statues of soldiers, they can't go out and fight a battle. Why? Because they're just there. They have no life in them. They can't do anything. We see that the soldier does have life. Look down in verse 10. Again, in verse 9, the Lord would tell him to prophesy unto the wind. We see in verse 10 it says, "So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them." We see there, and it says they lived. We see that when the breath came into them, they had life. A soldier has life and is full of life. These soldiers, these are the ones I would want to go into battle with. They look full of life and ready to go, ready to do battle. These soldiers, they have the ability to go out and fight a battle. But this is all looking at it as a physical standpoint. What about spiritually? Spiritually, how is your life? You see, in order for us to be in the battle for the Lord, we must have or be full of spiritual life. Because if we are a spiritual statue, we are going to be of no use to the Lord. Because we can't go out and fight. We have to have life. In John 10:10, it says, "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, that they might have it more abundantly." You see, we can have abundant life. Not just life, but we can have abundant life when we're living in the Lord, when we're letting Him live through us. In Galatians 2:20, it says, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me." In Matthew 10:39, "He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loses his life for my sake shall find it." Here we have a statue that was created on a spiritual aspect. If I can get it to move. There we go. Many of you may recognize this as Christ the Redeemer statue in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil. But you know what? That statue does nothing for the country of Brazil. Even the city of Rio de Janeiro, where it overlooks up on the mountainside there and it looks over the whole city. But you know what? It does nothing for them. Why? Because there's no life in that statue. But there is the life of the cross. The life of that Christ paid for our sin upon the cross. we have that life still alive today in His Word. In Matthew 20:28, even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give His life a ransom for many. You see, He gave His life so we could have life. And in John 10:28, and I give unto them eternal life, that they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. You see, as Pastor spoke on this morning, this physical life, we're going to face death. But Christ, with His life, has given us eternal life. We have to live that Christ in Him, or live that life in Christ. In 2 Corinthians 4:11, for we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be manifest in our mortal flesh. His life must be in us in order for us to have life. The second difference I see between a soldier and a statue is stance. Look again in verse 8. It says, when I beheld, lo, the sinews and flesh came up upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. I would say that these human beings, basically, the flesh has come up on their bones and all, they're just laying around. You say, well, how do you know that? Because in verse 10, it tells us, after it says, and they lived, it says, and stood up upon their feet. In order for them to stand up on their feet, they have to be laying down. You see, a statue is only in the position that's been formed in. You see the statue of Abraham Lincoln there in the Lincoln Memorial sitting on his throne, I guess. I don't know what it's supposed to be. But you know what? He can do nothing from that position. He's just sitting there, will always sit there for as long as this world is and until they tear it down probably. But he can do nothing from that seat. He can sit there and look great, but he can do nothing. He's just sitting there. Because that's how whoever the people were that made that memorial put him. You see, a statue is just there in the position where the person who made it put them. But a soldier is up on his feet. Here we have the statue of... now I can't think of his name and I don't have it written down. But these are two, Robert E. Lee and the other general there in the Civil War. They're in Gettysburg. They're facing across the field from each other. And they're just there on their horses. And, you know, they look like they're ready to charge. They're on their horses and they're looking good and everything. But you know what? They can't charge. They're just a statue. These guys, though, they look like they're ready for battle. This is a picture of guys who just came out of cadet school. They've been trained and they're ready. These guys, they're all suited up. They got their weapons. They're ready to go. They're on their feet. You see, because a soldier is not just laying idly by. He's not just sitting around. A soldier is on his feet, ready to go. In 1 Corinthians 16:9, it says, for a great door and effectual is opened unto me, and there are many adversaries. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Quit you like men. Be strong. You see, as soldiers in the Lord's army, we should be standing, ready at any moment. For whatever comes our way, we have to be ready. Ephesians 6:10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore. We know the rest of that passage about having the full armor of God. A soldier is ready for battle. He's not just sitting around, not just twiddling his thumbs. A soldier is suited up and ready for battle at any moment. The third difference I see is appearance or cleanliness. Look back at Ezekiel verses 1 and 2. says, the hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones, and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. I don't know if you've ever had the opportunity to be out in the woods or whatever and stumble upon a skull or anything like that of an animal or something that has died. You know, it's not a pretty sight. If you've ever seen something that has slowly decayed, it's not a pretty sight. This valley was full of just dry, dead bones. You see, because a statue has no way of cleaning itself. We see there in verse 8, where the flesh came up upon them, but and the skin covered them, but they were just there. They didn't have life to take care of themselves. They didn't have life to clean themselves. Some statues that I found, I don't know what this is supposed to be, it's somewhere in China. But as you can see, very dirty. This guy, he gets the filth of the world on him. Why? Because he's just a statue. He can't keep the filth off. And it takes a very big power washer to clean Washington's nose or eye or head, something like that. And it takes a very big Q-tip for a very big statue. You know, we laugh at that. But think with me, spiritually, a statue, we cannot be clean. We cannot clean ourselves. Somebody's got to clean us. Spiritually thinking of, if I've become a statue, what's happening? The filth of the world is piling up and piling up and piling up. And pretty soon we look like that guy there with the filth of the world on us. I see a soldier is clean. A soldier is top notch. Many of you have been in the military. I have not personally, but many of my family have been in the military. And I know that if you have one little thread out of place, the drill sergeant is going to come by and he's going to rip you up one side down the other for one little thread. Why? Because it's important as a soldier to look at your best. Spiritually, as a soldier, how do you look? Are we clean as soldiers of Christ? Or have we let the filth of the world cover us? Have we let the filth of the world just totally make us inept? Because if we have the filth of the world, we're not going to be out ready to fight the battle. We have to be clean. We have to be ready. These guys, they're standing at attention, probably on dress call or something like that. And they're going to have the general or whoever, commanding officer, come by and expect them. If Christ were to have us line up and do an inspection, how would we measure up? If he were to come by and say, okay, time to stand in uniform, time to stand at attention, how would we line up? Would there be areas in our life where we would hope that he didn't see? Would there be things in our life that we'd say, well, I hope that doesn't stand out too much? Or could we stand and say, there's nothing between me and my Savior. I'm clean. I can stand in front of him and have him give his approval. As a soldier of Christ, our appearance is very important. 1 Thessalonians 5:22 says, abstain from all appearance of evil. That's not just if you think it's evil, but all appearance of evil. 2 Corinthians 7:1, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Can we say that we are perfecting holiness in our lives? It says there in the fear of God. Why? Because he's the one going to come by and do the inspection. James 1:21, wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. We need to lay apart the filthiness of this world. We're supposed to be in the world, but not of the world. In John 15:19, if you are of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. You know, when we are around the world, we're going to look different. Why? Because we are out of the world. And there's going to be those who look at you, they may mock. But we have to remember that we're soldiers of Jesus Christ. We have to remain clean. No matter what might come as persecution from those who see us as being odd or different. Christ suffered much. The world hated him. How can we not expect them to hate us? The fourth difference I see is luminescence or light. You see, a statue needs light in order to be seen. The Statue of Liberty at night without lights cannot be seen. Cannot be seen to welcome people into this country. It has to have somebody shine a light on it. And even this one has to have light shine on it. Why? Because it's just a statue. It is nothing reflecting Christ. Christ is light. You see, a soldier brings light. Anytime a soldier comes in, he brings light. In 2 Corinthians 4:6, it says, for God who commanded light, the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. In Matthew 5:14-16, it says, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works, and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. I go back to what I said at the beginning. Everything that we do is not for us. It's for the glory of God. He's the one that is the light shining through us. I ask you, as a soldier of Jesus Christ, is the light shining through you? You see, these walls, pews, instruments, they're not Maranatha Baptist Church. Everyone sitting in these pews is Maranatha Baptist Church. You are the light. When you walk out of these doors, how is that light shining? Is it under a bushel? Because you really don't want to see, want everybody out in this community to see the light? Are you ashamed of the light and you've put it under a bushel? How the community sees each and every one of us is what they think of Maranatha Baptist Church. You see, there's many churches here represented. Trinity Baptist Church of Milton, Florida. Some of you might have been there if you visited Florida, but most of you probably never know anything about it except for me. That's where I'm from. That's my home church. You say, well, I may never visit Trinity Baptist Church, but you know a little bit about them because you might know me. There's many others. Here I won't go through and name everyone. I don't know everybody's church. I know, you know, Brother Ethan, he's from Fellowship Baptist. I know Fellowship, that's where Noel is from. And we can look at him and we can see a little bit about Fellowship out of Taylor, South Carolina, because we see him. And that's just amongst us. What does the world see through you? Do they see Christ? Do they see the light of the gospel shining through your life? They should. After all, you are a soldier. You're supposed to be carrying forth the word. That's our responsibility. That's our duty. That's our purpose, to be carrying forth the light of the glorious gospel of Christ. Is it being done? In conclusion, I ask, spiritually, which are you? A statue or a soldier? Any one of us can become a statue. It doesn't take much. It only happens by not praying, not reading your Bible, not attending church, becoming cold to the things of Christ. You'll become a statue spiritually. The way to stay a soldier is to keep exercising in the Word. You see, the soldiers of our military, they don't go through their exercises just because it's fun, but to remain strong and ready for battle. Are you reading the Word so that you're ready for battle? The only way you're going to contend for the faith is to know the faith. The only way you're going to represent Christ is to know Christ. And if you're not in His Word, if you're not fellowshipping with Him in prayer, you're not going to know Him to be able to represent Him. This here is a statue of William Bradford, a man who I believe loved the Lord greatly. We were in Plymouth last year, I think it was in November sometime, and we got to go all over there. A lot of statues there, a lot of plaques. They have quotes from William Bradford all over Plymouth, in different buildings and things. Every single one of those quotes gives glory to the Lord. Every one of them. And the statue there, the monument to the forefathers, as I mentioned, very little known, because all around that monument talks about coming over for freedom to serve Christ. But you know, this is just a statue of William Bradford. William Bradford, he did his part. He served the Lord. He probably really doesn't care whether there's a statue to commemorate him or not. This here is a statue of Mimisoit. I think that's how you say it. He's the Indian that met Bradford in the Pilgrims. Very interesting that he didn't realize what was going to happen in befriending Bradford and the Pilgrims. They pushed him off of his land. He didn't even realize that was going to happen. He just thought he was befriending in these people that were coming in on the shore, and they pushed him off his land. A lot of bitterness came up as a result of it. After having welcomed the Pilgrims in and having the big Thanksgiving supper as we know it and everything, then there became a lot of contention between them. But you know, it's just a statue of him. Here we have the Statue of Liberty again. The Statue of Liberty there, as I said, it welcomes people into our nation. But it does nothing after that. What are we doing as Christians? Are we welcoming people to know the Lord? And if we have welcomed them, what are we doing after that? Are we training them? Are we teaching them? In the Great Commission, it says we're to go out in all nations baptizing them and teaching them all things. Many a times I've seen in churches that they have seen people come in, they've welcomed them in, and nothing goes past that than a welcome. What are we doing as soldiers for Jesus Christ? Are we shining the light? Are we being the soldiers that Jesus wants us to be? 2 Corinthians 4, 3-4 says, "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." In 2 Timothy 1, 8-10, "Be not therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death, and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel." You see, it's our responsibility as soldiers of the Lord to be carrying out the gospel, to bring that life and immortality, the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Turn with me to 1 John chapter 1. I want you to have this picture in your mind of a statue or a soldier. And think about when you get up in the morning, what are you going to be? Are you going to be a statue that's just standing there? Or are you going to be a soldier that's actively going out, carrying the light of the gospel? In 1 John 1, verse 5, it says, "This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him, and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin." In verse 5, it says, "This is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you." Are you declaring the message of Christ? Are you declaring to the lost that they have hope in Jesus Christ? Are you declaring to those that are in this community, in this county, that there is truth in God's Word? That he did die on the cross, gave his life, so that they can have life. Some questions to think about. You don't have to answer these publicly, but answer them in just in your heart to gauge whether you are a soldier or a statue. Have you invited someone to church today? You say, "Well, it's Sunday, it's, you know, come to church and go home and come back to church." But I wonder if you stopped for gas or maybe some groceries or something like that, did you think to ask the person at the checkout line if they were off tonight and invite them to church? Or how about, have you invited someone in just this last week and say, "Well, my life is busy." Is it too busy to be about the work of the Lord? How about if have you invited someone in the last month? That's an entire month of seeing people, maybe every day, that you know aren't in church, that don't go to church, that aren't saved. Have you invited them to church? Or what about, have you given someone a tract today, or in the last week, or in the last month? You say, "Well, maybe they won't come to church, but have you given them a tract?" Said, "Read this when you get a chance." Have you prayed for someone's salvation today or the last week or the last month? We should be actively praying that the lost receive Christ as their Savior. If we have not prayed for souls to be saved, we're missing a major part of serving the Lord. Have you gone on all the scheduled visitations this year? Of course, this year is just a month old. Have you gone on half the scheduled visitations this year? Think about last year, since this year is basically still just started. Now, last year, how many of the scheduled visitations did you go on? You see, it's easy to come up with excuses of why we can't. And I'm not targeting anybody. I'm not saying that you have, you know, done anything wrong. But the Lord will. And this is convicting to me also, because many times I go out and I think, I was so focused on checking out that I didn't hand them a tract. I didn't even ask them if they go to church. I didn't even ask them about their spiritual condition. And it's easy to say, well, that's not the purpose of being in the store. But it should be. Should be our purpose that everyone that we meet, we're concerned for their spiritual condition. If we're not, I would say we're failing as a soldier of the Lord. As I said, many churches are represented here, and college students and others. But right now, we're represented of Maranatha Baptist Church. And when we walk out of these doors, we represent Maranatha Baptist Church. There's a church down in Cowpens, South Carolina. It was a Calvary Baptist Church. I don't know much about their history. I don't know exactly what their doctrinal standpoint was. But if you go by, you can still tell that it was a church. But it's now a metal roofing store. They sell metal roofing out of it, the building. You say, well, a building's not representative of the church, but the building is represented that there was a church there at one point. As I said, I don't know the conditions. I don't know why it's no longer a church. They maybe have moved. I don't know. But think about this. That church is now just a representation of what once took place there. What once was a light of people gathered in the Lord's name. That could happen to this church. That could happen to any church. And it only happens by us slowly stopping to be a soldier. Just little by little of failing to keep our purpose set on serving the Lord. We could become statues in our own lives, and then it would affect the entire church. Because, as I said, we, the people, are the church. We are the soldiers. We are the light of the church. And when we go out of these doors, we have to keep shining. How bright are you shining? Have you let the cares of this world dim your light? Have you become dull? Has your light become under a bushel? Maybe you're ashamed. We have nothing to be ashamed of. We live for Christ. Our purpose is to serve Christ. And though we might suffer a little bit of persecution for it, we'll never suffer what He did. We'll never suffer the amount of agony that He suffered. We might have to go through a little bit of persecution. We might have to go through a little bit of heartache. But in the end, it will be worth it. We have life eternal. And you see, As soldiers of Jesus Christ, we have victory. He's already won the victory. As Pastor preached about this morning, that he's conquered death already. How willing would every soldier be to go into battle knowing that the victory is already there? You know, these soldiers over in Iraq and Afghanistan, they go out, you know, on patrols and different things. How willing would they be to go out knowing that their commanding officer says, guys, we already have the victory. We already know that we are going to get the victory here. Of course, they can't know that. Christ does have the victory. We can serve him knowing that there is no failure as long as we keep our eyes on him, as long as we keep fellowship with him and keep the light shining bright through us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for just this time that we have to be able to open your word. Thank you, Lord, for the light that it is and for it shining upon us, Lord, for us seeing our need of salvation and accepting you. Thank you, Lord, for giving your life so that we could have life. I ask, Lord, that you would just help us to go out each and every day to be a shining light. Lord, to make our purpose of everything we do to serve you, to shine the light of your gospel. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.